we're recording. We're live. Hello, everybody. This is the Know Your Place podcast. I'm Charles Altendorf. And I did record one before this, but I think I'm going to bump my other one for this one. So we'll go ahead and call this episode 72. And on this week's episode, I brought back a guest from way long time ago. It's probably been 60 episodes since he's been on. But everybody say hello to Eric King. Eric, say hello to the fans.
What's up? Yeah, it's been a minute because that was when I was first podcasting, and I haven't podcasted in like 2 years.
Man.
So it's been a minute.
Time flies. We've hung out a couple times since then, but we haven't gotten back on the recording together thing until now. But I brought Eric on. I was trying to be hip and trendy. Is that bad of me, Eric, to be so hip and trendy?
No, it's not. It's really not, you know.
But so basically how this all started, and when I post this, I'll give a shout out to one of my friends in Toronto. Not really begged. So this is what's interesting, Eric. You're going to be shocked by this. I have a friend through a friend that I met. I should say internet friend. I've never met her in person. IRL, you know. But she lives in Toronto, and so my parents are from Florence, Kentucky. Well, not really from, they're from Wisconsin, but that's where I went to high school, right? And apparently she has some extended family that also lives in Florence, which that's just mind-blowing. I don't know how that happens. And what's crazy about it is that extended family is actually Italian. Italian living in Florence.
I was going to say, every time I hear Florence, I just think of that water tower. Florence, y'all.
Florence, y'all. It's still there. Everybody's really worried. They started repainting it, and they didn't think they were going to put back the y'all, but of course they did.
Oh, you got to.
You can't not at this point. Anyway, she had seen this movie come out on Netflix, and I don't know why I paid for Netflix again. I guess I should have boycotted like everybody else did. But called Hillbilly Elegy, and I decided to bring on. I think it's probably bad to call you a resident hillbilly. Will that get me assassinated?
No. For sure. Well, that's the thing with Hillbilly Elegy is it's in Ohio.
Right. Well, that's I don't want to get to that.
Ohio.
Right, yeah, I want to get to that in a minute. The guy's totally LARPing. But but before I get to all that, yes, she had brought up this movie, Hillbilly Elegy, and I remember my wife read the book when it came out, and I remember you've been telling me, too, that there was a lot of criticism of the book when it came out. And now I guess we've both seen the movie. So let's sort of just start, I guess, with you giving a little background of how you grew up and what you consider to be a hillbilly, and then we'll get into a little bit of kind of I guess I'll talk a little bit about what I consider hillbilly, and then we'll start really getting into the movie and the book and why this guy's kind of LARPing and what's all just crazy about that.
Watching the movie, because it's been a minute since I read the book, and I fully intended on reading it before we done this, but I'd done that thing I used to do in high school before I had a book report due. I'd wait and be like, oh, I can bang this out in like 2 hours. It ain't going to take a second. Not like fully realizing I can't do that. So I got a little bit into the book, but I had a buddy, and this might sum up how I feel about like kind of answer the question of like where I'm from. So I live in East Kentucky, like the most eastern part almost. I border Virginia, and I've been here forever, these almost 29 years, sadly. I travel a lot though, you know, so that kind of makes up for living here. But I was working in Norton, Virginia, which is like 30 minutes from my house, not even like 20 miles really. And my friend that I worked with was in college still. I had already graduated. And they told me, they were like, hey, man, you need to read this book. It makes a lot of sense about your area. And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, I'll check it out. Like, you know, I read and stuff. And I read it, and I was so furious by the end of it. Not because, like, those things don't happen or whatever, but, and we can get into it later, but yeah, no, it's just, I don't know. Yeah, so I'm from Eastern Kentucky. It's great. Hillbilly is probably a weird word. No one really says that around here too often. But being Appalachian's like a wild thing. I used to work in the nonprofit world and like go to Appalachian conferences. JD Vance was actually at one that I worked, and there was like a bunch of people tried to raise a bunch of hell on him during he was speaking. And a bunch of people, because the book had been out for a minute, but because I remember reading it, I think in 2015, because that was when I worked at the game store, or it might have been a little after the game store, because I'm still buddies with the people I worked with there. Mm-hmm. But I swear I remember working there, and my friend told me to read that book. So it had been out for a minute, and then I left the game store to go work for the nonprofit I worked at. And then it was like a year after that or a year and a half after that was when that big conference was in Cincinnati. And he spoke there and people were pretty torn because it was overall the nonprofit world's very progressive and liberal ideology and stuff. But they booked J.D. Vance to speak at this conference, which is kind of wild. Which we can get into in a minute. But yeah, so yeah, that's the world I'm in, is like Appalachian. So that was what people took, you know, people around here tell you they're just Appalachian or whatever. Some people talk about rednecks, but I don't, no one really says that. Usually it's a derogatory sense if most people say that.
Right. I mean, that even happens here in Lexington. You know, I live in the bigger city. A little bit less than the Appalachian region. People only really say redneck if they're going to insult somebody. You know, it's not.
Yeah. Or singing Gretchen Wilson. There's two. Yeah.
She's the redneck woman, man.
Yeah, no, for sure. But yeah, so I'm Appalachian. I've lived here forever. I just travel a lot. But you know, kind of with that, is you do see a lot of the same things that he went through. It just, you, like you said, he's LARPing kind of, which I mean, we can get into in a minute. But yeah. So, but no, not a hillbilly. I don't think anybody, I mean, we can say that if that's what we want to, but yeah, just Appalachian, I think's the biggest thing. But that's from the nonprofit world. That was like a big deal, you know, getting grants and stuff. Appalachia culture was hot. You know, you get a lot of grants for doing stuff right, like that. Cause you know, you do have the art part of it, the music part of it. You know, there's a lot of stuff here. A lot of good stuff here. And right, it's starting to get out more, I think.
That's where I was going to sort of touch on was, you know, my first experience with it really was, you know, I lived in North Carolina for a little while, so I went out to Asheville on vacation a few times. And I got to be honest, that's not real Appalachia.
Yeah, that's the fancier parts.
Yeah, but my first real experience was when I was in college. I had some friends from Hazard who took me home with them for a weekend.
Oh, and Hazard's sketchy. Like,
yeah. I there were some things I saw in Hazard that I was like, whoa. You know, I'm originally from Wisconsin, and I lived in northern Kentucky before I went to college. You know, and it's like, wow. But, you know, my wife actually really turned me on to some of the, I would call it the more interesting things about Appalachian culture, because she was actually in an Appalachian studies class in college. She was taught by this woman named Amanda Fickey at UK, and she, what town was she from? She was from Paintsville. And she actually, so you're talking about an Appalachian conference, it's really funny. My wife actually went to one because she wrote a paper, and she was basically, her paper arguing, you know, that sort of the way to, her solution or things to do to help Appalachia was more of a sustainable farming argument. You know, the smaller plot of land and smaller farming and trying to feed yourself more, because her argument was sort of a food supply issue for Appalachia. And yeah. I thought that was really cool. But my wife just felt completely uncomfortable in some of those circles, because she's definitely not a progressive. So, so my first real experience was going out to Hazard. And actually, I went to a wedding ceremony in Sawyersville once, too.
Oh, okay.
And so what I really saw, and this is what was so funny to me, because people are always, you know, talking about the redneck thing or the, you know, like some of the rough things about Appalachia. But, you know, I'd grown up, I was born in Milwaukee, and I spent a lot of time in Chicago, and I've spent time in Cincinnati. And really, the issues of Appalachia are the same issues that you experience in the urban centers of those places. It's just different because it's rural folk, you know. The same type of poverty issues are the same, you know.
Yeah.
And so I always found that a little bit.
Partially different reasons for it, you know. That's the, like, there's key differences. But, yeah, you're exactly right. Mostly the same problems.
So when I would – so it'd always be hilarious to me, because I would visit, like, some part of the western side of Cincinnati, which it's suffering its own type of poverty in places, right? And the people there would be, like, all stuck up about, oh, take your shoes off – you know, make sure you wear your shoes when you cross the river, you know, type of crap, right? Mm. And I'd be like, they're no different than the people who are poor in Jackson or wherever. You know, it's just, it's a different thing, because people in Kentucky live in the hills, and a lot of the issues revolved around, you know, the decline of the mining industry or something. But, you know, in Hillbilly Elegy, you know, J.D. Vance's family moved up to Middleton to work in the steel mill, I guess is what his grandfather did. And, you know, those people all lost work when the steel mill closed. It's the same thing as the coal mine closing, you know?
Yeah.
So to have some type of arrogant attitude about it is really crazy to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember reading the book and just, I read it and then I didn't think anything of it. And then when I had to, when I worked in that nonprofit, it got brought back up. But, like, when I read the book, I was just like, man, it's just kind of, I don't know, the movie to me too, it's kind of like an Eli Roth film, but for poverty. You know, like, you watch those Eli Roth movies to, like, watch a little bit of gore and stuff. I don't watch the new ones because they go too far. But, like, you know, Hostel, it's basically torture porn. So, like, what I feel, even though the story is a valid story, and I don't want to take away from, like, the shit he went through, but, like, it's just like a poverty porn. And then, like, but it wasn't just a poverty porn. Like, that's fine. Make that, you know, whatever. But it, like, somehow tied to Eastern Kentucky, even though none of it took place here.
Well, that's the thing where I think the criticism's totally valid there, because I mean, let's be honest, I don't know what the actual percentages of people on drugs is in Jackson versus Middletown, but I'm assuming it's either the same or maybe higher in Middletown.
No, there's so many drugs here. It really is a pandemic or an epidemic, one of the two. Right. I'm not smart enough to know the difference, but
it is a
legit problem. But it also, too, like you were saying, in that Ohio town, it's probably bad. And I'm not just discounting that the mother maybe has trauma from Eastern Kentucky. I don't know her story or whatever, but she was born and raised in Ohio, too.
Right.
And then I think he even said in the movie, I don't remember if it was in the book, but he was like, yeah, she probably got this pain pill addiction from the hospital. It's like, well, she worked in the hospital in Ohio.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's like, yeah, I get there's a pill problem in Eastern Kentucky and meth and stuff, but if she got addicted on pills in Ohio, okay, that's cool. That's why I was saying it's just like a poverty porn to me. The whole thing
And to be fair, part of Ohio is Appalachian if you go over to the Athens region. But this didn't take place in that region either. So
true. And I also, it is asterisk. I probably shouldn't say that, but like, I feel like Appalachia is huge. You know what I'm saying? Right,
yeah.
I feel like when the parts of Appalachia that get hate the most are West Virginia, Southwest Virginia, and right. Eastern Kentucky.
Right. No one really wants to talk about Pennsylvania or Ohio when they talk about
that. Yeah. So, like I'm saying, it is, but I'm putting an asterisk beside it because when you hear about, like, there was, like, a highway that
23, people... 23, Hillbilly Highway, whatever.
Well, no. I'm saying, like, when they would run pills from Florida
to
Kentucky. Like, that was, like, you know, They aren't talking about Ohio. I mean, they may be eventually, but when they're talking about Appalachia and that, they're talking about here, you know.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. It's like, yeah, it is. But he wasn't even from that part too. You know what I'm saying? Which is cool. And that's what I'm saying is like when I tell people I don't like the book or the movie, and they're like, oh well, that story's so relatable. Oh, bet, totally. And I don't hate his story.
It's not about the story. It's about what they're trying to tie. It seems like a bad connection. You know, it'd be like if somebody, it'd be like if I wrote a story and called myself a Wisconsinite. It wouldn't really be proper, you know, because I'm born there. My family's from there. But like, I ain't lived there now in like 16 years, you know.
Well, I'm like, he spent a couple summers here in Jackson. And I'm like an hour and a half from Jackson. Mm-hmm. He spent a couple summers here, and in the movie when those kids dunk him underwater, that's exactly how people around here were. And like people around here don't
I'm saying
he probably didn't have fun for them. I'm not speaking for him because he might have fun with his family, but kids were probably mean to him while he was here. It's kind of wild. Just he got like this pedestal to speak on East Kentucky, even though he's not from here. But he's doing great. I'm glad he went to Yale and all that good stuff. And
didn't he do some his nonprofit? I guess is doing a lot for the pill problem, you know, or whatever. Right. And I don't have any problem with that either. But it's like you said, it's weird that if we're feeling like some outsider speaking for you, you know.
Yeah. That was the big problem that I had, like, because when I read the book, like I told you, my buddy was like, oh, did you like that book? I was like, I mean, it was a sad story, but it has nothing to do with anything that's going on other than, like, yeah, people are on pills here, but that's, like, the only thing. I don't understand why you were like, oh, this makes total sense for East Kentucky. It's like, not really. His solutions also move. That's my thing with it, too, is it kind of feels like, which is a thing people do and a thing I would have probably done if I didn't have a paid off house. Like I have no bills. Right. So I can travel a lot and not work as hard as most people. If I had to pay rent and live here, I would not be living here right now. Which I was trying to move up there before COVID. I think that was one of the times we ate out. I had a job interview in Lexington. So it's like, people move away from here because there are better jobs other places, and that is a solution.
But it's not a permanent solution either.
It's not a permanent solution, and it's not like you can just move everybody out. That was my problem with it, too, is like his solution with everything I felt like is, oh, yeah, I moved out and had nothing or whatever, which you moved out of Ohio and had nothing. You didn't move from Eastern Kentucky and have nothing. But, and then like in the end of the movie, when he's telling his girlfriend, he's like, yeah, you know, he moved to Ohio with nothing. And she's like, oh yeah, it's a lot like my immigrant father. And I was just like, did they just compare Eastern Kentucky to like a different country?
Well, and it's funny you bring that up.
What are you talking about? You know?
Yeah. It's funny you bring it up. Cause, I'm in an international geography group and somebody came in there from Massachusetts and was like, they always like throwing shade at Middle America, right?
Yeah.
And they said something about wanting to secede. And it's like, can I pay for you to secede? You know, like, because I get so fed up with that, man. Because, yeah, they do act like it's another country out there.
Yeah, yeah. And he talks about, and like J.D. Vance, like, he talks about how much he loves it. in Jackson and stuff, it's like, man, the way you talk about it, I don't feel like you love it. I feel like he blames Jackson for his mom's pill problem, and it's not Jackson's fault.
Yeah, Jackson did nothing to that, you know. And
yeah.
Furthermore, I mean, I think the book could have been titled Rough Spelt Eulogy because it took place in Middletown, Ohio.
Yeah. And I mean, that, there is something to say for like generational. I had the word till I started to say it. Generational problems. You know, there is something to be said for like what they said. The grandma was like 13 and pregnant, and they left and went to Ohio. You know, there's still some problems that the grandma probably had. And, like, I couldn't imagine being my grandfather. My pappy, dude, I couldn't imagine being young when he was young. He had, like, 15 brothers. It was, like, kind of around here you could just do what you wanted to do. You know, you didn't – there wasn't really any law and order. And it was – he talks about he used to walk up. We own a mountain, so we own like 50 acres. Mm-hmm. And there's a flat above the house, and it takes 3 hours round trip to go up to it and back. And he said that all they used to do was go up there and farm and garden and come back and go off the hill and farm and garden and raise animals. So, like, I couldn't imagine all the trauma and, like, the generational – that was the word. Generational trauma. There's totally something to be said for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I also think that all those people were way too young to have kids. You know, like I told my pappy recently, I took him to the doctor and I was like, I should have been your kid. Like, your three kids should not have been your kids. I was like, you should have been the age you were when I was born. And because, I mean, we lived with him, so I was always with him, so it was like he raised me. And he was way nicer to me, even though he was still mean as hell, but like he was way nicer to me, and I feel like I turned out way better adjusted than like my mom and her brothers, like with him, especially with him. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, there, like I said, there's something to be said for that generational trauma, but I feel like I said he blames Jackson or Eastern Kentucky on her pill problem or whatever. Like, I don't understand how he keeps tying Appalachia back to it, other than he says syrup. He's like, yeah, give me the syrup. Like, that's all. I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that's great. Be proud of where you're from. I'm glad he likes it. But, like, it's not Jackson's fault.
Right, yeah. And it's just so weird, you know, and like I said, I really felt like it could have been titled Rust Belt Eulogy because, you know, all those same type of problems happened in Ohio. And I remember when I was living in Indiana, I saw something that I'd never seen before when I went in the mall there. They had a used needle drop box in the mall. And I'd never seen that in Kentucky before.
You know? Yeah, they don't really do it. We've got one now, but it took a while to get. But yeah, no, there's like dirty needles. You can just like roll up on them. I don't roll up on them too often, but like I don't walk. Back when I was younger and we walked a lot around town and stuff, you'd find dirty needles or broken pipes or whatever. But it's also not as prevalent. Most of the time people just stay in the holler. You know what I'm saying? No one's out and about doing drugs. The city I live in, it's pretty sketchy. There's people there's a lot of roamers now.
Oh, man.
More roamers than I've ever seen before. You know, like so many roamers that I'm stressed. It stresses me out. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's still not like in your face. You don't see, there's not like someone tweaking at the BP usually. It's not, that's what like another problem I have, or like another quarrel I have with this whole thing is it like they try to like paint around here like, yeah, there's a druggie in every gas station and you know. No, like,
man. I mean, when I've noticed, that's the thing that I'd almost say is the cultural difference between like Ohio and Indiana and Kentucky is I did see that at the BP in Indiana. Or in Ohio.
That's sketchy, you know, like, as hell.
It's up in your face there.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, and I was going to say Cincinnati's hella dangerous. And like Covington.
Oh, yeah.
Like all those places are insanely dangerous. I've, again, being too young and dumb, me and my friends walked from Covington to Cincinnati at like 1 a.m. once.
Oh, my God. Dumb
decision. Yeah, stupid. Right? Probably should have. Probably should have. We seen homeless people below the bridge, like just chilling. I talked to a couple people on the bridge, listened to two people get in an altercation. Like, it was, you know, like, those places are just, or if not in your face, more sketchy. I feel like we do a good job of hiding it, or not even, like, hiding it, but, like, I can tell you where to not go. You know what I'm saying? Like, you come hang out with me for a weekend in Letcher County, I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, definitely don't go these places. And you're not even going to see a drug or anything. You know, you're not going to see a meth lab or, I mean, there was one in Food City parking lot once, but they took care of it pretty quick.
Right.
But, like, you know, you're not going to witness that. No one at the bar is, like, on meth usually. And if they are, they get ran off pretty quick. You know, it's not as in your face. There are characters at the gas station. Like, there's a guy that can't really speak. They call him and he plays with yo-yos, and he's always at the BP, but he's not, like, tweaking. He just can't really talk, you know.
Well, yeah, and that was something that was a shock to me living in Ohio and Indiana, because Wisconsin's like that, too, where people don't generally do that kind of stuff in public, you know.
Or
they don't want to be seen looking like that in public. And when I rolled up in Indiana, I mean, it was like when I was in Indiana, my in-laws came to visit us. We lived in Bloomington at the time. And there was, like, these homeless people that would congregate on the main street between downtown and IU. It's called Fifth Street, or I think it's named something else in that stretch. But, like, people would see – it's called Kirkland Avenue. You look this up, like, it's legendary. Like, there'd be, like, 40 homeless people hanging out on the street there just on drugs, singing songs, doing whatever. And it shocked me, because this is a city of only, like, 80,000 people. Like, I never saw that many in Lexington doing that. You know? Yeah. And I was just like, oh, my gosh. Like, do the – like, I guess for part of me is, like, is it, like, almost like a no-shame thing? Like
– Yeah. Yeah, well, man, it is your – like, you're talking about Indiana and stuff like Gary or Indianapolis. Like, it's more – up in your face, you can't. Or I think it also, with the generational trauma in Appalachia, there is also, like, a generational, you're probably not going to be homeless because your grandma has a house,
right?
Yeah. So, you know, you ain't, but, like, in the city, you might be homeless and have to stay at the gas station to get warm. You ain't got nowhere else to do your drugs at, right, or whatever, you know. So, but yeah, it's just with the hillbilly elegy, like you said, it could be the Rust Belt elegy, or anything. And because people do drugs everywhere, it's just, and that's another thing with this whole thing. Like, there's people from here that like hillbilly elegy. And, like, I had a friend, she moved away, and she posted, oh, all my friends should watch this movie. It's exactly what I went through as a kid. Which also, yeah, which also, like I said, the story is irrelevant to the why everybody's mad. So that's why I'm saying, like, yeah, the story I get or whatever, and I get, like, you moved off too. And there are, even though she's not like this, there are people that move off and then act like they're, you know, they are better than everybody here.
Right. Well, I noticed that too a lot. I'm trying not to dox too many people, but let's say one of my wife's friends, you know, kind of comes back to where she's from, and you can tell that she's, like, proud of being out of there. Like, she lives in New York now and is a publisher with a publishing firm, you know.
Which is great. I've been wanting to move since I was old enough to know what moving was. It just doesn't make financial sense. So, no. I get it. It's great. But that can't be a solution, or shouldn't be put out like a solution or whatever. So, but like I said, they love it. And like I said, I get the story, you know, all that. But they're ignoring the cause of the problems here. There's a lot of problems that have occurred in these regions, like West Virginia,
Well, in West Virginia,
Southwest Virginia, East Kentucky,
and Illinois are projected to lose population between the next censuses. And
oh yeah, sure.
And West Virginia is projected to lose almost 4%, and that's a really horrible problem. I mean, you know, the solution can't be just all those people leave West Virginia and it becomes a ghost town. you know?
No, because, well, there's still going to be people here. That's the problem, and there's nothing for those people to do. So that's kind of what, like Letcher, I'm lucky, like Letcher County's a good county in Eastern Kentucky. Like, arguably more progressive than the other ones. You could probably say Pikeville might be a little bit, the city, right here. The city, Pikeville City, but Pike County's huge and scary. But like Pikeville, the city, yeah, probably more progressive, but like Letcher County, Whitesburg's pretty cool. But that's about it. You know, like, I'm not trying to throw shade at any other place, but like Prestonsburg has a cool Goodwill, but they're, you know, like it's different. And I forgot the point I was going to make. Shoot, what were we just talking about?
No, you're talking about how like you live in a progressive county and like,
And
the
totally
solution can't be for everybody to move.
Yeah, it can't be because like, there's going to be people left and there can't be nothing here for them, you know, other than minimum wage jobs, which is, you know, like I've been lucky over my life too, to have good jobs, but they still weren't technical. Like I've never been paid amazing here. You know what I'm saying? And I've got 2 bachelor's degrees. I should be making more than, you know, like the highest I got paid hourly was like $16 an hour, and that was like a highly coveted position in Letcher County. That was like everybody wanted, you know what I'm saying? And then I you know, I made more money selling cell phones, but that's just commission. But yeah, like everybody around here is fighting for $10 an hour jobs, and you know, like I said, there's a reason for all of it. There is generational trauma. East Kentucky started out really with the coal camps, and they didn't even get paid in real money. They got paid in coal camp money.
Right.
Back in the coal camp to buy things back. Right. And then they signed over all their mineral rights. Like no one has mineral rights here. Like there was a gas company who wanted natural gas from our land. They took it and was just like, hey, you guys got to take what we offer because like we already got it.
Yeah. I remember that. I saw a documentary on the Broadform deed.
Yeah, it's just wild. So yeah, there's reasons that it's shitty. Also, all the money from coal went to Lexington.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it paid for UK, really. I mean, most of our donors are. A lot of people don't talk about that, but yeah, I mean, most of the donors to the basketball team, it's all coal money.
They throw things at us like we got a rec center, we got a trash truck, like a garbage truck, you know, like. It says coal severance tax, and it's like, I'll bet, but like, how much of it went to Lexington? And there's reasons the pills are so bad. Somebody get hurt working, and the doctors are like, oh, here's 500 Oxycontin.
Right.
Addicted to them, don't trip. And then, like, everybody here shares everything. So they go home, and they're like, oh, it makes my back feel great. And then someone hurts their ankle. Like, yeah, here, have an Oxycontin. Doctor said it wasn't addictive, and now, like, someone who would have never been addicted to drugs is now fully an addict, and you don't just kick Oxycontin. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, there's reasons everybody here's on drugs. I'm one of the lucky people that, like, my mom's not on drugs, you know, never has been, but like one of her brothers is, you know, so it, you know, it's not that every family has somebody on drugs here. It just depends on like how directly affected you are, you know. But I mean, I think everybody has someone in their family that's on drugs.
And I really think that problem would go down if marijuana was legalized.
Oh, for sure. For sure. 110%. I mean, it does everywhere it's done at. And everybody wants to talk.
It'd be so easy to grow. It's what's in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. It's been, well, that's one other thing I thought was hilarious in that movie is like, you know how I know he's not really from Appalachia is because when that kid was like, hey, you want to smoke a bowl? He was like, it's a gateway drug. Dude, you know how long people from here, most of his family's probably smoking dope. Like,
that's hilarious. Do you think he was really narking? I can't believe he was narking on his adopted brother like that. That blows my mind.
Man, so I do feel genuinely, I want to say that, like, I genuinely feel bad for this person's life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
as someone who's had trauma throughout their life and young childhood.
Oh, no, absolutely. I feel bad for him. Some of the abuse that happened there is just completely inexcusable.
Oh, for sure. And that's totally normal here. Like, some of the stuff, like, and again, like, I've had a very normal life, but when I talk about it to people, it doesn't sound normal. But, like, some of the things in there is very normal. Like, the manipulation of the... I mean, it's manipulation, but like when the cops have her pulled over in the car, and
right,
he's like, "Oh,
he's not gonna turn on his mom, right?" Yeah,
that's. I mean, that could be where he's pulling hillbilly elegy from, but I think other parts of the world have a family camaraderie. I'm not, you know, but
oh
like,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that, yeah, what's so crazy about that actually is, you know, I brought up Athens, Ohio. It was another place where they had done a study, and it, supposedly it was a very high in domestic violence place, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. And like Eastern, like there's problems like that, like also with, you know, young parents. Like that's what I'm a product of, is my mom was 18 when she had me, so like I went to college, I've lived with my grandma. She's been married, my stepdad was her second wedding or her second marriage, and the first one didn't end well. The first one ended with my pappy almost murdering a bunch of people, you know. It didn't end the best. And then like the second one was great till it, you know, till it wasn't or whatever. But like, yeah, so there's a lot of young people that had kids here, and that puts a damper on like prospects. Like she didn't finish college,
right?
You know, she got an associate's, and like she has a good job, like she works for the state and shit, but like, is that what she wanted to do, you know?
Well, and it's crazy you bring that up, because that wedding I told you I went to, it was our friend was a sophomore in college and decided to join the Marines, and his wife had just turned 18, I think.
Like, oh yeah.
Before. And you know, that marriage ended up not working out, of course. Right. Yeah.
I'm glad you brought up the Marines. I'm glad you said that, because that was like also his other solution. And that shouldn't be the only solution for poor people, especially in Appalachia. It's like, oh, well, you can't afford college. Well, you should join the military. And it's like, bro, I shouldn't have to risk my life to go to college. And I know a very small percentage of people are actually risking their lives and shit. But like.
But no, I mean, that is what they pump people into. That's the other thing they do. Like, even when I was in high school, I got in a fight in high school in Northern Kentucky. You know who walked over to me before I talked to the principal? It was a Marines recruiter.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people from Appalachia that go to the military, and that's great. And that's, you know, like
I'm not trying to down veterans.
But that shouldn't be someone's only option to get like an education or to like get out of somewhere. You know what I'm saying? There should be other less risky options to do that. My pappy was real adamant about me not doing that. He done the military thing, and he was real adamant about me not.
That feeds sort of that we're talking about the sort of family problem. That feeds that problem though, right? Because then the husband goes off for however many years, comes back, right? You know, and who knows what happens in that time, you know. It's just not a good solution. It's just kind of crazy that's been pushed as one so hard.
Yeah. That was – well, and I have friends here that, you know, are back from the military, and they went, and they enjoyed their time. It was, you know, great for them. But a lot of them don't come back. So then that feeds the more problem with that brain drain, is all your educated people – I'm not saying educated in the way most people probably are going to take that, but like – your people that are, you know, have education and stuff are leaving. So you got people here that are still smart people, but can't fill certain roles. And then it's like a lot of times your only option here for work is to go to the medical field.
Right. Around here, go to the medical field or get hired by the government. And in a way, that's almost bad with the government thing, because there's so many small counties in Kentucky. It's almost a drain on the taxpayer base. So it like, it feeds into its problem, you know, because you really shouldn't have that few of people supporting that many government roles.
And with that is, on the flip side, like with the nonprofit world and stuff, they waste a lot of money too. Like, I can't tell you how many programs that they done, like training people to code. None of those people are coding.
Right.
Like, they done the whole program and was like, all right, bet, that was great. But they're not coding anything now. They're working at retail or not working. You know what I'm saying? Like, so a lot of these, they have these great ideas on paper. You know, it'd be great to teach everybody how to code, but they have like a one-stop shop for everything. It's like, oh, this one thing's going to fix the problem.
No, you need what I really think the best thing that's happened out there is the push of some technical colleges, really. I mean, that's, you just need consistent different options for people, you know?
Well, and I think that's a thing, that's a problem with our generation is like my parents and my grandparents, oh, you got to go to college. Bro, right. I've got two college degrees, and I'm selling stuff on eBay.
Right.
Like, luckily, my first degree was free. I'm only, like, $7,000 in student loan debt, and that was just to get the second degree.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, it's not a bad – I'll pay my loans unless Biden lets me write them off. But yeah, so, like, college was pushed so – especially around here. It was, like, go to college, and then they sent everybody to college because – well, man, there's a college everywhere now. There's two really good colleges in Eastern Kentucky. Like, it's not a crazy thing for people to go to college.
The problem is they don't tell you you're going to be in debt for all these years, and they don't.
Yeah.
They don't teach people anything. Like, I'm lucky. I have my geography degree, right? And I use my geography degree. But, like, yeah. I'm such the minority. I am not the rule, bro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had a social work bachelor's and an accounting degree.
Right.
Like, it's, and I don't use either one of them, but yeah, it was just pushed for so long, and it wasn't pushed like, oh, figure out what you want to do. It's just like, oh, get a degree. But that's because I think Kentucky's 5 years behind and everything. All the other places had figured it out, and then we were still getting yelled out about college.
That was something that was really good that was happening in Indiana before I left, was they were really starting to push technical school hard, you know, yeah. And just say, look, go to technical school. You know, like the technical school was almost growing faster than IU was when I was there next to it, you know. So, it's crazy.
Yeah, no, it is. It definitely is. And then, like I said, with this, it just, Hillbilly Elegy, when I heard the movie was being made, I was just like, Jesus Christ, now it's just going to something else for them to be like, oh, yeah, well, Appalachia, if they just pull themselves up from their bootstraps, you know, look at this guy. He left and went to Yale and done this and that. And it's like, yeah, dude, that's great for him, you know, but that's not like everybody can't get out and go to law school at Yale or like, he also does like stuff with tech too, I think.
Well, yeah. And I'll actually tell you a story. I know a guy from Grayson County, which is technically on I-64, and I don't, you know, those counties on I-64, they are Appalachia, but they're better off than where you are, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Because they're on I-64. But he ended up, he graduated from UK with me, and he ended up going to work for Goldman Sachs in New York. And he hates it there. You know, he hates it there now. Like, he's considering trying to figure out a way to work from somewhere else and still be employed by them.
Yeah.
And when we were in college, this whole big dream was, I got to go to New York. I love it there. It's a big city, you know.
Well, that's the thing is, most people want to move from here, but they always come back for some reason.
Right.
I've never lived anywhere else. Like I said, my house is paid off. It's kind of hard when you don't have bills and don't have to work hard to be like, yeah, let me move somewhere and pay $2,000 in rent or a month, you know.
Right.
But yeah, like, I've always wanted to move. But I haven't. It's nice here. I like hiking. Like, I can walk out my back door and go hiking.
Some of these issues that we talk about with the poverty in Appalachia, it's easier to survive those issues than it would be for you to survive those issues if you were in Cincinnati.
Oh, for sure. And I'm 100% poor. I'm the definition of poverty. Right. But it's not a bad gig. Like, I'm watching a 55-inch TV right now, like, chilling. Right. You know, all my bills are paid. My car payment's paid. Like, everything's good. You know,
right. That's the thing I try to explain to people from out of country is they just don't understand. Like, for me living in Lexington, because I've been able to work myself up to the paycheck I have,
Yeah.
My cost of living is so low. You know, it's so low. You know, like my rent's only 800. You know.
Well, I was going to say, too, like, I know people that bought houses in Lexington. Usually people that move from here and move up there buy a place, like, shortly after they get there because you can just, like, a mortgage payment's about the same as rent.
Right.
Or what. And, yeah, Lexington's cheap. Like I said, if I had to pay rent in Letcher County, I would fully not be here. 110%. I have friends all over the country that I could go stay with. Actively have a buddy right now actively trying to get me to move to the one above Fort Collins, Colorado. He's like, man, I got a room, move out. And it's just like, no, I don't want to pay bills. But if I had any kind of bill here, I'm out. Like I'm not paying to live here. It's trash. It really is trash. But it's my trash.
So like, you know, you get, but you know, you are kind of, there's a certain level of poor there, but then, like you said, you got your own house, which is something like in Cincinnati you couldn't do. You'd just be poor on the street, you know, or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dude, my highest paying job, I couldn't pay rent and my bills on.
Right.
Like, when I sold cell phones, that might be I don't know. I made more money bartending, but, you know, like, even with that, I would have struggled bartending and paying bills. Like, I have friends. And they tell me how much credit card debt they're in. I'm like, well, that's crazy, but I totally understand. I would probably be there too if I had real bills. You know, my only real bill is my car payment, and it's not even that bad. You know, so maybe that's the goal, is to just get everybody in Appalachia in their own house so they can just, like,
know, I don't know how much you follow Dave Ramsey, but I'm a big Dave Ramsey follower, and that's essentially what his whole spiel is. And he's actually from the Tennessee side.
Oh, okay.
And he now lives in, he's got a big bunker thing in Nashville, I think, or somewhere in Tennessee. But essentially, his whole thing is to just get people off debt, because you can be poor, but if you're not in debt, it's not a problem.
Definitely not. That's what, like my friends, like I've got friends that live in Lexington, and I come see them all the time. Like, it's not even like we don't see each other any, like the amount of times we see each other is no different if they live here.
Right.
But I have, you know, like, I don't have bills. So, like, they're stressed out, like, oh, my job. And I'm like, dude, I'm selling things on eBay. And, like, I can get a job where that doesn't stress me out. You know what I'm saying? Which is great. That's the life I want to live. That, you know, they got to live the life they want to live and stuff, too. You know, that's the things everybody got. But getting out of debt is your prime thing. Like, I've had friends, you know, I have a credit card. I use a credit card. If you actually use a credit card right, there's perks. Like, I get free Amazon money. And I know it's not free. I know I'm spending money. But, like, I get a portion of that back, so I feel somewhat better. But, like, I was a AmeriCorps Vista. I don't know if you're familiar with those.
Yeah, I heard of that. I tried to sign up for that, actually, but
it's great.
Yeah.
It's a great program. But basically, you work under poverty. Like, you get paid less than minimum wage.
Right. That was sort of why I just backed out. I found a better thing to do than that. But
What's cool with them, though, is they give you $7,000, essentially, in student relief after you do a year, though. So, I mean, it kind of pays off, but it doesn't. Like, if you have actual bills, you don't want to be a Vista.
Right.
But so, like, I done that, right? I done a Vista, and that year I had an emergency. I had accumulated $1,000 in credit card debt. Mm-hmm. And I was telling my friend, like, I was complaining about it. I was like, I've got some credit card debt, and it's stressing me out. And they were like, oh, yeah, me too. And I was like, oh, yeah, that must be stressful. I was like, you know, I don't really think I have too much. And they were like, oh, yeah, we've got, like, $20,000.
I know.
What? All right, who gave you that limit? What?
Right, yeah.
Like, that's what the thing are you I was trying
to explain to people. It's like, because I'm thinking about what to do with house shopping, right? And the problem for me is that the bank will give you way more credit than you should have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because well, I mean, all they're seeing is how much they're going to get back from you.
I mean, on my credit card, I have a crazy outlandish limit, but I've never put more than $2,000 on my credit card.
Right, and that's smart. And that's very smart.
Yeah, well, I don't want to be in debt because, like you said, I can be pouring in debt and be like, oh, hey, I need 20 bucks. Let me find a T-shirt to sell. Oh, and like, oh, I got 20 bucks, you know. And like I said, what we were talking about a minute ago, on paper, I am super poor. But I've got more things and probably more liquid cash than somebody who might, like one of my friends who may move to Lexington to get a better paying job. But I have more liquid cash than they do and less debt or like agreements with contracts and stuff. So it's right. Like, you know, you may have got these better things and that's great. And also there's really good food in Lexington, but like,
but at the end of the day, they're not really living
flexibility. Yeah, I had more. Dude, I was going on a vacation every month when I was still working before COVID. Like, I went to Chattanooga, Nashville. Like, I was bouncing all over the place and spending, like, 4 or 5 days every month, every other month. And, you know, that's because I had a job where I could just be like, hey, y'all, I'm not going to be at work for a few days. And they'd just be like, oh, okay, bet, cool. And then I'd leave. You know, because I had the money, like my bill, as long as my bills were paid, you know, I can do what I want to.
And that's sort of, I guess, if we're talking about what the real long-term solution is for Appalachia, it that's really what it is there, is learning to sort of reach back and live on the basics. And
well, I do think that technology, I think Appalachia needs to figure out the internet, because like I have a friend that makes money from their podcast, makes a lot of money from their podcast.
Right.
And I think if people, you know, like I would love to figure that out. You know what I'm saying? Like I've got 100 episodes in my last podcast. You know, we're done with that one, but like I've started a new one. I haven't released any of it yet, but like I've recorded a couple episodes and, you know, I think that would be something around here, because it doesn't, it's not dictated by, man, my town's a super small town, you know. So like I'm selling vintage clothes online, because if I opened a store in town, that just wouldn't make any
right. kind nobody of sense. Cares yeah
you know, like I mean, people would come out, like my friend has a record store and he makes good money at it, but I just, it just doesn't make sense. I was just like, yeah. You know, you can, I, for me, you know, it'd just be like having a store would be great. But so I think the internet is Appalachia's big resource. Also hemp and marijuana, like you said, yeah. And small scale farming, because we do have the farmers market now, and dude, they give away money for that. My friend's building a high tunnel right now, and they had to pay for it up front. But the company gives them all their money back after they build it. They just want to make sure you're actually going to build it and not waste the money.
Right.
So, yeah, I do think those kind of things. But I think the internet is Appalachia's biggest friend if it could just embrace it. And I think it has problems embracing it. Yeah. Yeah, I think it has a problem. Because there's a ton of talent around here. There's, you know, ton of great musicians from around here, which I think are getting through a little bit more now. You know, you got Tyler Childers and Sturgill Simpson, and stuff like that.
Actually, his mother used to work in my department at the water company.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, so it's wild. But yeah, so no, that's sort of my thing about it, you know, is it's just the whole thing with J.D. Vance, this whole thing, you know, it's, I don't even think it's necessarily, yes, there is a drug problem and some people are undereducated, but at the end of the day, I think you can make a good life in Appalachia or if you're in Lexington or anywhere really. In a way, if you just, it's more just about being a little bit creative and sort of, it's just embracing what's great about Appalachia, you know, not needing, you know, you could, there's certain things you don't need there. And I don't necessarily think having some of these things that you have in a New York or a Yale are even really better at the end of the day, because at the end of the day, if you've gone into all that debt, you're just as poor. In fact, you're poorer. You know?
I wanted to go to law school, and they looked at me, and the cheap law school that I didn't want to go to was like, oh, yeah, you'll be at least $300,000 in debt. And I was like, no.
No.
No, I'm not. I'm not doing it. I am 110% fine on not going down that path. Yeah, it's yeah, I don't know. It's a and like you said, you don't need. I like visiting those places. You know, like I think there's something to be said to like pride for where you're from. You know, like I've met people from New York that are like, yeah, I don't want to live anywhere else but New York. And I think New York's great. I would love to go stay there for like a month and then come back here.
Right, but you're always going to come back to Appalachia, you know.
Yeah, that's my goal with everything I'm doing right now is to be like, oh, okay, y'all, I'm going to be in Fort Collins at my buddy's house for a month, and I'm going to go thrifting out there, and then I'm going to come back home and sell everything. Right. And then I'm going to go visit my buddy in L.A. for about a month and thrift out there and come in and, like, record, do interviews and stuff with people. You know, that's my goal is to just bounce around. But, like I said, I don't have rent here. And not to say I wouldn't buy another property while I live here, but I want to do that when I have the money, one, and, B, property here is, like, 12 grand for a house. So it's not... Right. I'm not going to be like going in hella debt for a, you know, a piece of property unless I would like to. There's the property we own in Dean. I would like to just build a house over there. So the property's already got, I just had to put a little house on it, you know? So that's the whole thing with it is I think we figured it out with JD Vance cutting is you just got to get people out of debt.
Right.
But also, dude, he does so many, like, un-Appalachian things, you know. Oh, like, me thinking about, like, my grandpa or, like, my pappy, dude, he would have, if my mother would have asked me to piss in a jar for her, my pappy would have probably beat the shit out of her. Like, you know what I'm saying? He'd have been like, no, he's not pissing in a jar for you. You should, you know, if you're going to be a nurse, you can't do drugs. You know, like, no, I tell people that all the time because I have friends, like, when we graduate college, you're like, oh, I miss smoking weed. And I'm like, well, maybe you shouldn't have went into the medical field. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, you go into sales. Everyone in sales is on drugs.
Yes.
Go into sales. I don't know what you want.
Well, that is, I'm glad you touched upon that, you know, actually a little bit, because that's where I do take a little bit of issue with J.D. Vance's thing. There are people in Appalachia and people in Kentucky that have a very strong moral code. They wouldn't just sell out because it was their family, even for that.
Oh, my grandmother would. My grandmother totally would. My grandmother would have asked me to pee for her son.
Right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, she never has, but like when I was younger, he wasn't around her. My grandmother has now moved to Tennessee and he lives with her. And you know, but like he didn't do his drugs here. He moved off to do his drugs.
Right.
But like still, if my mom would have been a drug addict and would have pulled that, my grandmother would have been like, you know, your mommy needs you. But dude, my pappy would have been like, hell no. You know, my pappy hit me one time. He thought he was spanking me with a switch, but it was the bras we were cutting. And like, that's my pappy. And then, like, he still was, like, he didn't, like, act sorry. He just bought me a hamster because that's what he had already promised to buy me for helping him cut bras.
Yeah. Like, so, yeah, I think there's kind of – so I guess my issue with Vance's depiction there is it's sort of 50-50. There are some people that absolutely are like your grandmother, but then there's people like your grandfather, too. You know,
It just feeds back to that poverty porn, man. And arguably – there are probably more people like my grandmother around here, if you want me to be honest. Maybe not to like, not as wide anymore, but like my grandmother, her family, all of them are like her. Like, you know, for better or for worse, I don't know how good or bad it is, you know, but they all like ride or die for each other. Like my uncle employs most of his employees are our family. You know what I'm saying? And he like helps them out a lot. And, you know, if you mess up, it's like, oh, well, we'll figure out your mess up. You know, we'll get you took care of. Like, everybody's going to be taken care of in a sense. But, like, my pappy is kind of a wild one, too, though, which I think's why I hold such weird beliefs and, like, ways I think about things. Because my grandma will call me and be like, did you hear so-and-so died? And I'm like, dude, I don't know who that is. And she'll be like, well, that's your family. You should go. And I'm like, I'm not going to a funeral for somebody I don't know. bandits I have met don't care about. You know what I'm saying? But, like, dude, she'll go to any funeral coming and going. Oh, I went to second grade with their cousin. I need to go to that funeral. It's like, dude, calm down. No, you don't. So, but, yeah, there's a ton of people around here. Like, I've peed for people before, but it wasn't in, like, that way. Like, my friend asked me. She was like, hey, you know, we're not doing drugs, but we went to the cabin this weekend and had a drug, and we need you to pee in a cup. And I was just like, well, the only reason I did it is because it wasn't for like a legit thing. It was like this dude's mom drug tested him. And I was like, y'all, I'm going to fail too. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm high as hell on weed all the time. Like, at the time, at this point in my life, I was like, dude, I'm high as hell right now. Like, what are you talking about? They're like, oh, they don't care if he smokes weed. They just don't want him doing pills. But like, yeah, I bet. I'll piss for you. So, like, yeah, I peed for people, but not in the sense of, like, my family forcing me to or anything. But, like... Well,
and in the sense of this is different if it's... She was doing that to circumvent a nursing board, and that's kind of horrifying.
Yeah, yeah, like, that's fraud, you know? That's something, too, I've never done, is, like, the fake pee thing. If I've ever got a job, I've just got clean for that job. But and, I also don't.
I feel like most people I've met who are Appalachian would be like you almost. That whole scenario I think is just crazy.
If you just finding a job is just a tolerance break. Then when you start smoking again, you just wilder.
Right.
But yeah, like Appalachia, it is a very that's how it is. Like, but there are people that sneak MP or like people I know people on probation that still do drugs and like sneak MP and. They get watched and stuff. Like it's just wild. And I know people that hold good jobs and like take P to work just in case they get, you know, popped on something. But like that's something I've never done. So I felt bad for hearing that scene, that movie, but that's something I can't empathize with. Like the only time I peed for people is when I was just like, yeah, whatever. Just cause like, it's going to be a headache for all of us or whatever. But then, like, also when it got bad, I was just like, no, I'm not doing that. When I realized what was going on, because, like, also, I think with me being in Appalachia, too, I have goggles on. So the things he's going through, I don't feel as bad for. Because I know people that are, like, drug addicts on the weekend. Like, I have friends that, like, do pills on the weekend. But through the week, they're normal people. Right. So, like, I'd be like, yeah, I'll pee for you guys. Like, you into the cabin, whatever. And as shitty as that sounds, like, I'm fully aware of how toxic that sounds. Like, yeah, y'all were at the cabin. Like, I'm justifying their drug use or whatever. But, like, once I figured out, like, they were bad on drugs again, I was like, no, I'm not peeing for you. Like, you need to get caught. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, before, before you were just partying. Like, now you have a legit problem, you know? But, like I said, I think, too, my big problem with Hillbilly Elegy is I'm desensitized. Like, with the whole, like, oh, you had to pee in a cup for your mommy? Oh, that's, I'm so sorry. Like, you know, like, I don't, that sounds super heartless to say because that's a super messed up thing to go through in life. But we all been through some, like, worse things than that. He went through worse things than that. You know, yeah. Like, I don't know. It's just,
Scene with the peeing in the cup wasn't, the scene where his grandmother lit his grandfather on fire for me was kind of...
Yeah, that was wild. I don't know, dude. That whole... Like I said, there's something to be said for generational trauma. But right. I don't think the mom was on drugs because of Appalachia. I think the mom was on drugs because they had parents that didn't love each other or were mean to each other and lit each other on fire in Ohio.
Right. Well, and to be fair, the mother, you know, again, we talk about like the generational trauma being part of the problem. But again, all of these addictions start off with people being given too many pain pills. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. For the most part. Yeah. For the most part. That's what it was around here, especially was doctors. Oh, yeah. Here's a script for Oxy. Right. Dude, my back just barely hurts. Like, what are you talking about? I want a Tylenol. Oh, no, take these Oxys. They're great. You can't get addicted to them. You know, like, yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, there were people here before that were, you know, not good people. But, like, I remember being a kid and, like, someone smoking weed was taboo. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, it, that was never taboo in my household because my grandpa probably sold those people the weed. But like, right. You know, like I remember when that was like, oh yeah, if you go up there, they're going to be smoking weed. But like by the time I got to high school, they were like, whoa, don't go there. They're doing Percocets and stuff, you know, like, so it definitely has shifted, and there is a huge problem. I feel like I just discount this huge pill problem in Appalachia and stuff. There is a huge, it's worse than most places. I will, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and, I'm not saying the crime's worse, like I think there might be less crime here.
No, yeah, that's sort of what I've noticed, is it's less crime, but perhaps more drug use, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, there's crime, but it's just like, you know, everybody kind of around here knows that if you steal from somebody, you're probably going to get shot if they're home.
Well, it's funny you bring that up. One of my friends from Hazard, that's exactly what happened, is somebody started breaking into a new house they were building. And they straight up called up the state trooper and was like, look, you better stop them stealing from us or we're going to shoot them.
Yeah.
In Ohio, it's not like that. I mean, like, there's not like this understanding between people. So yeah, his mother's doing drugs and people in the street are shocked, you know, like they're like, you know, I don't know what to say, you know, they're not, that scene where she's like stealing from the card person or whatever, yeah, in Ohio that wouldn't be tolerated, but like on Eastern Kentucky, if you were like an asshole to her and everybody knew who she was, you know, they'd be like, oh yeah, well, you just got your, you just got what was coming to you, you know?
Yeah. No, well, that's another, like a lot of people do stick around, stick together here. I will say that's one thing he did get right in that part of it too. Like, you know, I think a lot of people here don't do as much stuff because, like, you don't just have to worry about one person. Like, if you mess with me, there's, like, 30 people around me that are just like, oh, you robbed him? Like, oh, okay, well, when next time I see you. So there is a little bit of that, too. And also, like, when I was a kid, a lot of people didn't come around where we lived because, like, my pappy was very dangerous. So, like, people know where they can and can't rob, kind of, too, around here. It's they usually just end up robbing each other. Like, most of the drug addict people end up just robbing each other. It's like everything's real separated here. It's real weird.
Yeah, so, I actually, you know, I probably, there are parts of Cincinnati I felt a lot more unsafe in than Hazard, but...
You know? Yeah, but Hazard's dangerous, dude. Hazard's sketchy. I hate Hazard.
I will say, though, there was definitely... So I was at the Black Gold Festival.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we were up in there. And this guy, I don't even know what's going on. This guy turns around and looks me dead in the eyes and is like, you want to fight? And I hadn't even spoken to the person. I didn't even look at him, right? I'm like, dude, there's three of us and one of you. What are you talking about? And then he stormed off.
He'd have probably beat all y'all. He's probably had like some like druggy super.
His eyes were bloodshot, bro. I was like, I'm getting the hell out of here.
Yeah, no, it's a trip. It really is. Every day I wake up here and it's a trip. Just with stuff that goes on, the way people think too. I think that's a big problem too, with that. You have to change people's minds. Like, I was at the bar, you know, before COVID and stuff, but they've started doing rally car races in Letcher County, which is really good. They finally started listening to my Facebook rants about it, I guess. Mm-hmm. But they've been rally car racing and somebody was like, yeah, I hope it brings coal back. And I'm like, dude, coal at its best was still not good for us.
Right.
You know,
it killed the community.
Yeah, like, and here's the thing, like, everybody says, like, oh, you're not proud of coal. It's like, no, I'm definitely proud of those coal miners that rioted in the streets. Like, those dudes ruled. You know, I'm not proud of essentially them being glorified servants at the beginning, you know, like, until they rioted. You know, that's what I'm proud of is the, like, what is it, perseverance or what, however the
The living through the struggle, but you shouldn't be proud of the way everybody let themselves be taken advantage of that came to that point. You know?
Yeah, we don't have mineral rights, but yeah, I love coal mining. You know.
Well, it's just like the army thing, you know. I am pro the every man soldier, but no, I don't agree with the invasion of Iraq. You know, it's the same type of deal, you know.
Yeah, oh yeah. But yeah, people have to get away from that mentality that coal's our only savior, because it's most definitely not. And here's the thing, too. With that being said, they're mining coal in Western Kentucky. They mine coal in Alabama. Like, when coal stopped here, it didn't stop these other places.
Right.
And they're like, oh, they're killing the coal industry. No, they're just – ours got killed because it's extremely expensive to get the coal here, because it's like – it's you got to work so hard to get it here now. It's not like it used to be, which we had better coal. But it's just more expensive to get here, so no one's going to come here to get it. They're going to go these other places. So until people here accept that there may be a couple mines, that's fully a thing that might happen. But it's never going to be able to
sustain
feed everybody. Population. And it was never a sustainable industry. Even at its best, it was a boom and bust economy. Most coal miners were on unemployment every other year. For at least
one of my coworkers is from I forget which county it is out there, but he lives in Georgetown now, and that's what he always talks about, you know, the boom and bust cycle.
Yeah, I mean, they were always on and off unemployment. It was like, oh well, I ain't working for 2 months, and then oh, it'll pick back up. Mm-hmm. You know, which is great. I mean, I have friends that do oil jobs, and that's kind of how they are. You might work for 2 months straight, but then you might get 3 months off.
Right.
Yeah. You know? So, but like that can't sustain an area. And it's frustrating too with like the Hillbilly Elegy and stuff, because I feel like Berea, they're like, oh yeah, we're Appalachia. And it's kind of like I say with Ohio, it has an asterisk.
Right.
Beside it.
Well, Berea is completely, it's a very sustainable town. It was built to be when Cassius Clay started it. But. Yeah. Nobody talks about that part. Cassius Clay was actually a complete visionary, really. And, you know, Berea is just not the same. I mean, it's got all these other things going for it. It's got sustainable farming. It's got
And they also take, though, they'll do the whole, like, oh, we have Appalachian crafts for sale. Or, like, they base a lot of their things as Appalachian, too.
Right.
So that's like the whole thing with Hillbilly Elegy. And, like, it goes back to, like, the same reason I'm not a big fan of Berea. It's just, like, it's like poverty porn, and then but like painted pretty with Amy Adams and Ron Howard or whatever on Netflix. That movie should have been on Lifetime. It should have been a Lifetime movie, dude. That was not a Golden Globe nominated film.
So I guess that's to wrap up here, though. Let's tell people about some stuff they can really watch if they really want to learn about the real Appalachia.
There's a book that we had at work. It was called What You Get Wrong About Appalachia or something like that, or like What You're Getting Wrong About Appalachia. That wasn't a bad read. But like also I'm a bad person to ask for that. Like I don't know a lot of good things to say other than like I like watching those Apple Shop movies. But
yeah, I definitely think if you all haven't heard of Apple Shop, that is where the real they get into a lot of the real stuff, because they actually – and this comes down to what I always say about politics too. Everybody knows I'm involved in the Libertarian Party, but you got to get out and meet the real people. And and those things really are – I mean, I've seen some great ones from the 70s and the 80s, and they talk about stuff like the dam collapse. Where was that, in West Virginia or whatever? And, you know, just other real issues that affected
They also have a lot of good just, like, cultural pieces. Like, there's one, it's basically they just filmed a revival, and it's just one of the prettiest shot films I've ever seen in my life. And then you have Catfish Man of the Woods, which is my personal favorite.
Oh, that guy is great. That's hilarious.
Yeah, he's amazing. And then you have the one about there was, like, a drug ring being ran by the cops in a county. That one's a good one, but it's all, like, weed and stuff. Excuse me. Yeah, I mean, that's a good – Apple Shop's a good resource, but, like, yeah, I'm a bad one to ask about that just because I don't keep up with, like, the artists or the
Well, oh, and stuff in here. Actually, what was really, I thought actually did a good service was they had on this on the History Channel. We were staying in Dayton at the time. We went out on a little trip, me and my wife, and they had on. They were talking about the history of American food, and in there they did this whole thing about Colonel Sanders. And actually, if we want to be honest, Colonel Sanders is an amazing Appalachian success story, you know. And you know, people make fun of him for the clowny attire and whatever, and I get it. But like, he started off dirt poor. His restaurant about died when the interstate moved, and he found a way to bring back a bunch of success to Kentucky.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, and he's got that killer statue in Corbin.
Right. So I mean, that's another great story to read about. And so, you know, I just, the big takeaway I think from all this is I really kind of think J.D. Vance was LARPing a bit. And there's other stuff, if you're really interested in the real Appalachian culture, that you can check out. You know, check out the there's also a great documentary on the history of bluegrass out there that's a lot more informative too.
Yeah, start out with Apple Shop for sure. You can probably find your way around some good reading and stuff there. Also, you can, like, some good poets. You can find some good poets there, like Jim Webb.
Right.
Has a lot of poetry. My wife
likes Silas House, and there's this other one, Jake Still, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's one I can't remember. Robert Gipe, he worked at Southeast, but he done a lot of stuff with Apple Shop. There's a book called Kinfolk, and I can't think of
Gurney Norman. I've actually met Gurney Norman. We actually have an autographed book from Gurney Norman.
Oh, that's killer.
Yeah. So he's really great. He's an OG Appalachian too, if we're gonna use that
term. And those are good stories. Like Kinfolk has some good stories in it. My buddy just wrote a book about his upbringing here called Artemis, but it's also like a Bitcoin thing too. I don't know, but he wrote about being raised in Perry County.
Well, feel free. I'm glad to plug it, man. I'm glad to help out your friends. Yeah. So.
they done that Amazon thing where they got like super ranked on there, and it helped them a lot. But yeah, it's called Artemis, and he wrote it. I have yet to read it. I have it on my Kindle app, but I have yet to read it. But yeah, like I said, I know a lot of artists and like musical artists. That's my way into getting people here is like Pam Oldfield Mead. Like, she's an amazing mixed media artist. Like, I have a huge painting hanging in my house of hers. I have a painting from Jonathan Treadway, Lacey Hale, like all these people. And then also with music too, like there's a ton of good music artists around here, you know, like the Local Honeys or, just people that played at Apple Shop over the time that I worked there. I'm not as big in the bluegrass scene as I once was, you know, it was 'cause I worked there, but like, you know, there's a ton of just talented people from here that are even in Lexington living, like my buddies that live and play music in Lexington that are from here, you know, that's my best way to get people in to the culture and things.
Well, yeah, I guess we pretty much covered it all. Is there anything else you want to talk about while we got the record button going?
No, I'm glad you said LARP. That's a good analogy. I'm going to use that the next time I'm talking about this with a friend, is he was LARPing because he really was. Like, he'd come in for the summers, hang out, swim in the creek, and then go back to Ohio.
And claim he was Appalachian.
Yeah, which that's the weird thing. The last thing I'll say, that's the weird thing. All my family that lived away from here and that came back my cousin had to come home every other weekend to stay with his dad. They hated it here. Hated it here. And I understand why they hated it here. You know, totally get it. Can sympathize with them. You know, it's a weird place, and also it's hard to fit in when, you know, you're from Louisville and you come in, you're completely different. Right. So it shocked me that he even liked it here when he was a kid. Because every kid I know that wasn't from here, every one of my cousins that wasn't from here that came to visit, I don't want to be here. This place is awful. I don't want to be here. This place is awful. Like, that's all you heard. So it trips me out that he has such this, like, connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense to me. But at the same time, it does. Because, like, man, every day this summer, I swam in a lake. You know, that was 10 minutes above my house. I can walk out my back door and go hiking. Like, I see why he loves it, but it doesn't make sense to me why someone from, like, City, Ohio, it loves Jackson. I don't even really like Jackson, Kentucky. It's just a drive-thru place. Like, there used to be a cool shopping place there, but they built a new road. You ain't even got to go through Jackson anymore.
Yeah.
I ain't been through Jackson since you can turn right at that KFC Taco Bell. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's I don't know what that doesn't make any sense to me. But you know, I guess it's his personal story. It's not for me to make sense of.
Yeah, I guess, and I'll close with this one last statement. I guess, you know, maybe it would have been less of an effrontery to the region if he just said it was J.D. Vance's story. You know?
Yeah. I agree. That is the whole. That's why I tell people it's not the story that's frustrating. It's the bows and ribbons around it is what's frustrating.
Right. Well, thank you for coming on, Eric, and helping me unpack this. You know, I mean, I have a lot of sort of opinions on it and sort of my perspective, but, you know, I can't, there's some things I just can't have a similar perspective on because I didn't grow up there. So,
Sam, I don't mind at all to help, man.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for dropping by, and I'll drop my other episode about I have another episode that I recorded that I'll probably post after yours about a municipality in Louisville that it got annexed by the airport and then they didn't build anything on it, so now it's just empty.
Okay.
So there you go, everybody. That's it for the Know Your Place podcast. Stay tuned.